nicotinic acid, niacin, vitamin B3, whatever you want to call it, in its various forms, is the subject of fairly heated debate over its fantastic properties when it comes to anti-aging, along with treating schizophrenia, alcoholism, and trauma. I'm Jonathan Roseland with Limitless, and as you can see, I like this one so much. I'd call it a nootropic, but it's so much more than a nootropic. I like this one so much that I have got 2 powdered bulk supplies of it because it's such a regular thing for me and Mrs. Limitless that I get it. I have to get it in the most economical form. So this is my deep dive meta-analysis of this one. And if you're going to take niacin, you should actually probably understand a little bit more, like all the interesting things that it's doing in your body and like some of the ways to take that to the next level, which this podcast is going to break down. But if you're serious about your biohacking, you should probably check out the article version of this meta-analysis. And that is going to have all the link rabbit holes. That's going to have all the evidence. That's going to back up the things that I have to say here. All the additional things that you might want to get, that you might want to research. Yeah, you can find that through there. And that's going to be linked below. Wherever you are watching or listening to this. And this is one of these articles that I had first written over 10 years ago. And then recently I went to reshare it. And I said to myself, my podcast delivery was pretty awful when I first recorded this. The article itself was pretty good, and I've improved the article over the years, but my podcast delivery, it left a lot wanting. So I said, I'm going to go ahead and re-record this for improved audio quality. And I think my personality has also improved some since I first recorded it, because all of the biohacking that I've been doing, a little bit better time spent with me in your earbuds. So if you appreciate the fact that I sometimes re-record these things because I don't want to put out a crappy podcast product, even if it's kind of a refurbishing update, I want it to be really good. If you appreciate that commitment to quality, well, maybe you want to support my work. And there's a couple of ways to do that. But the way that I think is actually going to be stickiest. Yeah. Let's use that kind of Silicon Valley term. Stickiest is going to be supporting me on Substack. So over there on Substack, you can support me from $7 a month. And that gets you, okay, I'm going to announce something really soon, something cool that it's going to get you that's a pretty good value for $7 a month. I'm not quite ready to let you know about that. But what it does is it gets you a big archive of my content talking about biohacking stuff, life hacking stuff, a bunch of weird philosophical stuff, some different protocols for using smart drugs. Yeah, that's a pretty good value. And you get full access to that even just with 1 month. So maybe check that out. But I don't like to spend too much time like pitching my thing. So let's get right back into the content talking about niacin B3. And this podcast is going to focus on decoding what the human data is saying about B3 and how this squares up with the anecdotal experiences of the biohacking community. And for more of my own personal experiences with it, I am going to touch on those, but I've also got like some written and video reviews of different products on this meta-analysis page. So maybe you want to check those out. we'll start by talking about the scientific research. And I did a cool infographic for this one that you can find there, because infographics don't work great in podcasts, do they? So it has been widely studied worldwide as a nootropic and general health-promoting agent with nearly 500 human clinical trials published. And its most prolific use is treating high cholesterol. First of all, let's talk about niacin versus niacinamide versus nicotinamide. Those three words sound kind of the same. What's the difference between them? Niacin turns into niacinamide in the body. And niacin, that's what I've got right here. Nicotinamide is just a different name for niacinamide. And they're sometimes just referred to altogether as nicotinic acid, which should also not be confused with nicotine, which is the addictive smart drug that I kind of love, but I'm taking a break from right now. And there's a few key differences. Niacin and niacinamide share the same psychiatric benefits. Niacinamide does not cause a flush, which some people might appreciate. Niacinamide is not a cholesterol hack like niacin is. Niacinamide is more bioavailable. An imperfect metaphor that should make sense to biohackers would be to say that niacinamide is to niacin what alpha GPC is to choline. They all end up being converted into NAD plus and NADH, which, as you probably know, are very promising anti-aging agents. Next, let's talk about the niacin flush, which I am actually experiencing right now. I'm not sure if you can see it on my skin, though, because I have kind of a crappy webcam, I must admit. Niacin will produce a warming, energizing sensation in your face and skin for 15 to 30 minutes. If the niacin flush is too much for you, the following will reduce the sensation. Taking an aspirin, a cold meal or a drink, or taking it before a meal. Interestingly, the niacin flush seems to be an indicator of general positive mental health. A 2015 study on schizophrenia stated the small group of niacin non-responding patients exhibited an even lower overall test performance. Delayed niacin flush also correlated inversely with psychomotor function and IQ in the patients. So, if you're a single person, you could start offering like a megadose of vitamin B3 niacin to the people that you date. And you'd have to give them a megadose and it'll really make their skin burn. They might not be very happy with you after that. But if they flush, then that's a good sign. Then you know that they have good mental health. If they don't flush, then they're probably a grade A crazy and you should plan your escape. But that is all the dating advice that you're going to get from me in this podcast. Next, let's talk about its history. This vitamin falls under the shadow of Abram Hoffer, MD, PhD, a hotly debated character in the annals of psychiatric history. A YouTube search of Dr. Hoffer will produce several videos worth watching of this charming old doctor harshly criticizing the institutions of psychiatry for not curing suffering, but merely pushing pills. conspiracy theories about the pharmaceutical psychiatric industrial complex abound in regard to Dr. Hoffer's ostensibly debunked studies. But what's not debated is that he was a quintessential healer and highly committed to the advancement of orthomolecular medicine. Pellagra is a tragic vitamin deficiency disease that humans in poor and nutritionally deficient communities have suffered from since time immemorial. Niacin was discovered by an Austrian chemist in the 1800s who originally named it vitamin PP, as in pellagra preventing, since it cured the disease so effectively. And I have a rather morbid photo in the article of a man with pellagra. And yeah, he does not look good. Versus schizophrenia. Abram Hoffer conducted some double-blind studies in the 1950s curing schizophrenics with B3. This, however, is hotly debated online, but it definitely falls under the category of things worth trying if you're dealing with something as horrifying as schizophrenia. You can find a handful of reports of schizophrenics improving while taking niacin. For example, when I got myself out of the mental hospital, I read an article about Abram Hoffer's work with niacin and started taking 3,000 milligrams a day. It completely changed my life and is part of what continues to contribute to my better balance to this day at age 59. Good for him. Another interesting account appears in a book published in 1998. Quote, his mom and dad somehow got him to take 300 milligrams of niacin and 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Formerly a hyperactive insomniac, he responded by sleeping for 18 hours the first night and becoming surprisingly normal within days. I'd seen him before and I saw him after. I'd talked to his parents during the whole process. It was an astounding improvement. And Dr. Hoffer recommends niacin alongside vitamin C for schizophrenics. And we do have vitamin C back there. We take about a gram a day. So no worries about me or Mrs. Limitless becoming schizophrenics. Here, niacin versus alcohol. In an interesting episode of history, Dr. Hoffer introduced the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill Wilson, to LSD therapy for alcoholics. Dr. Hoffer also introduced B3 to Wilson as an option for treating alcoholism. Quote, Bill was very curious about it and began to take niacin, 3 grams daily. Within a few weeks, fatigue and depression, which had plagued him for years, were gone. He gave it to 30 of his close friends in Alcoholics Anonymous and persuaded them to try it. Within 6 months, he was convinced that it would be very helpful to alcoholics. Of the 30, 10 were free of anxiety, tension, and depression in 1 month. Another 10 were well within 2 months. Wow, that's something. 3 grams daily. And that's what I would consider to be kind of an extreme dose. Your skin would really feel like it was on fire for a good half hour after that. But the fact that it just banished fatigue and depression, boy, when you think about people that suffer with fatigue and depression, it's just incredibly draining of their vibrancy, right? And while 3 grams would be a really uncomfortable experience, I think that's worth I think that'd be worth trying, is for someone who has had that Sisyphean experience of struggling with fatigue or depression, I think it's probably well worth them going through a couple of those mild torture sessions of doing 3 grams. That's a thing to think about. However, they went on to conduct studies on much larger groups, and the data produced was optimistic. A 5-year longitudinal field trial of nicotinic acid was conducted on 507 known alcoholics to determine what effects and benefits. My result: our experience strongly suggests that, one, nicotinic acid can benefit 50-60% of alcoholics in the organic stage. And second, nicotinic acid can benefit about 30% of the total alcoholic population. Bottom line is that niacin is an inexpensive and potentially transformative option worth the consideration of those struggling with alcoholism. Next, let's talk about 4 trauma survivors. Another interesting case study is that of a Canadian officer who survived for 4 years in a Japanese concentration camp during World War II. Dr. Hoffer introduced him to niacin. He began taking it and experienced significant recovery from some of the crippling disabilities he acquired while interned. Niacin was administered to numerous other prisoners of war who experienced similar recovery. And Dr. Hoffer pondered, every human exposed to severe stress and malnutrition for a long enough time will develop a permanent need for large amounts of this vitamin and perhaps several others. This is happening on a large scale in Africa, where the combination of starvation, malnutrition, and brutality is reproducing the conditions suffered by the veterans. I think he's talking about the World War II veterans. Those who survive will be permanently damaged biochemically and will remain a burden to themselves and the community where they live. Will society have the good sense to help them recover by making this vitamin available to them in optimum doses? That's the question the good doctor asked, and I sincerely doubt it. Unfortunately, I know a thing or two about society, and society is really not very keen on bettering itself by healing the least among us, the injured among us. But let's not talk about philosophy and politics and society. Let's talk about space. Yeah, because this may be a B vitamin from outer space. Yeah, from Dr. Lee Noh's book, quote, back in 2001, NASA scientists found traces of vitamin B3 in meteorites, adding to the theory that life on Earth was seeded by extraterrestrial sources. That would be called panspermia. Vitamin B3's importance to life is apparent when we consider that it is the precursor of the biological molecules NAD+ and NADH. Next, let's talk about its anti-aging mechanism. It is hypothesized to promote mitochondrial biogenesis and DNA repair. Niacin also helps the production of hormones by the adrenal gland. A 2014 UK paper stated regarding its anti-aging and cognition-affecting properties. Quote, meat offers significant sourcing challenges and lack causes a deficiency of nicotinamide and tryptophan, and consequently the energy carrier nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. That's the NAD that gets consumed in regulatory circuits important for survival, resulting in premature aging. Poor cognition and brain atrophy. We propose a hypothetical hypervitaminosis B3 as the trade-off for increased brain power and longevity, a recently evolved human characteristic. Women's bodies naturally convert more tryptophan into niacin than men's. Dr. Hoffman hypothesized that this is evidence of niacin's anti-aging property. He said, women on average live longer than men. It has been shown for men that giving them niacin increases their longevity. Is the increased longevity in women the result of greater conversion of tryptophan into niacin under the stimulus of their increase in estrogen production? That's kind of an interesting question. Is the fact that women tend to live longer than men at its core just driven by niacin? Could be. Let's talk about obesity versus anti-aging. And since I was just saying nice things about women, I'm going to include a graphic of a chubby woman here because we're talking about obesity. However, there's some debate regarding its anti-aging properties. A 2003 paper entitled Key Gene for Life Extension by Calorie Restriction Identified, it stated, researchers at Harvard Medical School have discovered that a gene in yeast is a key regulator of lifespan. The gene PNC1 is the first that has been shown to respond specifically to environmental factors known to affect lifespan in many organisms. Sinclair's group previously found that nicotinamide acts as the inhibitor of SIRT2, the founding member of a family of proteins that control cell survival and lifespan. A 2010 Dalian University paper, chronic niacin overload may be involved in the increased prevalence of obesity in U.S. children, concluded, quote, the appetite-stimulating effect of nicotinamide appears to involve oxidative stress. Excess niacin consumption may be a major factor in the increased obesity prevalence in U.S. children. It's been firmly established in the arena of anti-aging that calorie restriction increases longevity. And it would seem that niacin works counter to that. While its anti-aging benefit probably outweighs its cost, it's probably not the best long-term longevity supplementation option, especially if you are already at risk for obesity. And oh boy, that's a thing I wrote a long time ago, and I think that I have changed my mind about that. I think it's probably a great long-term longevity supplementation option. Next, cognition. The conclusion I've reached is that B3 has weaker evidence for being a true nootropic. Of the human clinical trials of it, only a handful mentioned cognition. And of those, only a few had any strong statements where the researchers concluded it made a big difference in the cognition of the human subjects. The majority of the studies mentioning nootropic effects were speaking about taking niacin in combination with other B vitamins. And that's something that my anecdotal experience with it has confirmed. Yeah, it's rather weak as a nootropic. If you really need more brain power, there's a lot better other nootropic options out there. A 2013 Mount Sinai School of Medicine study stated, Our benefits suggest that dietary treatment with nicotinamide riboside might benefit Alzheimer's disease, cognitive function, and synaptic plasticity. Next, an important point. Got Wi-Fi? Take niacin. If you've got Wi-Fi in your home, if you got a smartphone, or if you have other wireless gadgets, it's a good idea to supplement at least a little niacin, just 25 milligrams, daily. This is because being bathed in EMF fields all day sets off a cascade of chemical reactions that damage genetic replication, increasing the risk of cancer and other catastrophic conditions. EMF'd by Dr. Mercola explains, I'll quote from that book, "One of the most straightforward strategies for increasing your NAD plus balance is supplementing with its precursors. Oral NAD precursors have been shown to restore NAD levels in aged tissues and show beneficial effects against anti-aging and age-related diseases. Niacin is one of those precursors. I believe that low-dose niacin therapy, around 25 milligrams, is a therapy that most people would benefit from, as it is very low cost and has no serious side effects. Niacin has been shown to efficiently increase intracellular NAD plus levels, especially in your brain where it counts. And a deficiency in niacin can cause very serious health problems in addition to contributing to NAD plus depletion. Since time release niacin eliminates the flushing reaction, many believe it is a better choice. Unfortunately, a high-quality study tested this strategy, and the results appear far inferior. So inexpensive, non-timed release niacin seems to be the preferred choice. You can purchase it in pills, capsules, or powder. So yes, Dr. Mercola there just answered a question that I'm sure you have asked if you have tried flush niacin. Is you said, do I get the same benefits from this stuff if I go with the non-flush stuff and I don't have to suffer? And unfortunately, not. So I guess this is a case of a little bit of discomfort ROIs a lot of times in life. Next, let's talk about B vitamins as mitochondrial support. And we'll quote from Dr. Lee Noh's book again. Of all the nutrients defined as true vitamins, the ones that have the greatest direct impact on cellular metabolism and energy production are collectively known as the B vitamins. This group is made up of numerous distinct nutrients, and each is either a cofactor in an important metabolic process or a precursor of an important energy-related molecule. Next, let's talk about niacin versus cholesterol. Its most popular usage is lowering high cholesterol. It's also good for circulation issues. Niacinamide is used in combination with vitamin C for cancer therapy as well. And you're probably not a total dummy when it comes to cholesterol. You know that the high cholesterol is actually not really the issue. You're probably well aware of the metaphor made with cholesterol, that cholesterol is kind of like the fireman. That if there's a fight, if a building catches on fire, you're going to see firemen surrounding the building trying to put out the fire. And the problem is not really the firemen, the problem is the fire. And so high cholesterol is often a sign that you have too much systemic inflammation inflammation going on. And so niacin is addressing that root problem. But we will move on to discussing niacin versus anxiety. Quote, the endogenous nicotinamide has a tranquilizing and stress protective activity. There are no studies linking niacin and anxiety, but you'll find numerous anecdotal reports online of niacin helping the chronically anxious. And let's quote Turnbuckle on Longevity. He said, I took B3 every day for decades and found it was good for both mood and mental acuity. And next, I need to talk about something that's really close to my heart. I regard niacin as the fertility vitamin. And here's why. I obsessively studied the topic of precision fertility optimization. Fertility optimization based on one's own individual genetics. And I did this obsessively for a deeply personal reason. My wife and I lost several children during pregnancies. These were the worst days of our lives and the most devastating experiences I've had to go through. Yet, in our late 30s, we were determined to become parents and wanted to avoid the hell of going through IVF. Between the books I read on the topic, my relentless perusing of PubMed studies, and the endless expert interview podcasts that I consume, I kept hearing about vitamin B3 again and again. It came up as something that broadly addressed a surprisingly wide range of fertility challenges that aspirational parents faced. So my wife and I got on the stuff. I got a real big bag of this. I think this is like bag number 3 or 4 of this stuff from Pure Bulk. At first, she didn't like the flush and was somewhat skeptical. But I explained to her that the scientific and anecdotal evidence was clear that this was going to help us to naturally conceive and finally have a live birth. So either flush niacin or NMN, either one or another of these things, have been a part of our daily supplement stack for a couple of years now. And last year, we achieved our greatest dream and became parents to a beautiful and brilliantly healthy baby boy. Me and you need to have a serious talk about the way that you have been objectifying women lately. Yes, I had hoped this would come later, but you have just been using women for their bodies. Most notably, one woman, specifically your mother. Yes, you just see her as like a slab of meat that provides from her bountiful boobies exactly what you want, and you just demand it voraciously. And are you really seeing her? Are you looking for the deeper parts of her? Or do you just see her as a piece of meat that you can grab and take exactly what you want from her? Is that it? Well, I understand, because you are my son, and that's what I've done in my life. And there's a certain duality that we must reject. That women are either objects, or that women are spiritual beings, a mirror of our own self, reflecting that which we try to ignore deep within ourselves.
But that itself is a duality and a simplification that can lead us down the dark side in life. So if you reach out towards womanly curves and you see them only as objects for your own satisfaction, I understand. For that's a path that I am on with you, my boy.
And I can't prove causation here, as fertility is complicated. And we made a lot of changes to make the magic happen. But I can say that we are the biggest fans in the universe of vitamin B3. And I will quote from my deep dive article on fertility optimization. The epigenetic vitamin came up a lot in the experts' recommendations for addressing fertility challenges. Supplementing it is a pretty good idea for almost everybody. If you have a smartphone and Wi-Fi, those EMFs are causing breaks in your sperm or eggs DNA daily. And niacin fuels your body's DNA repair system. It's called PARP. You'll get a bigger biological bang for your supplementation buck by taking the flush stuff. And you will get used to the flush, or you can take the NR or the NMN if you really hate the flush. And I often think that it's like pretty remarkable that there's parents, or there's aspirational parents out there, that are spending an absolute fortune to go through IVF, which statistically is most likely to fail. And they're spending an absolute fortune to go through IVF. And we, not being in perfect health, being in quite good health, being biohackers, we in our 40s managed to, in our late 30s, managed to make the magic happen naturally. And I often just think about the gigantic savings that we had just taking niacin and taking some other supplements that were not cheap, but a tremendous savings over going through the IVF, which is absolute suffering that may not result in a baby. Ultimately, I think we made the right choice there. I think that was the right call. Next, let's talk about the hunger issue with niacin. Due to a complex interaction with the glucose system, a strong desire to eat is commonly reported as an effect of supplementation. Ava had a useful insight into this. Quote, regarding hunger or lack of appetite, it depends on the circumstance. If you're fasting or on a low-carb diet with low calories, this means you're running on fat. In this case, sudden clearance of free fatty acid from the bloodstream will result in insane hunger and will greatly upregulate autophagy. For example, I'm afraid of trying niacin during a fast. As little as 500 milligrams of niacinamide can bring on these cravings. This hunger is apparently unpleasant for some. Heba on Longevity reported, I simply cannot tolerate the insatiable hunger brought on by higher doses of niacinamide. This makes this vitamin a good option for those trying to gain weight, but it might be a concern for those at risk for obesity. And interestingly, I can't say that me or Mrs. Limitless have experienced much at all of this. We will typically take our niacin after lunch or in the mid-afternoons. So I guess that's when we are typically sated by our lunch. But as far as extreme hunger, no, I don't think we experience much of that. Let's talk about inositol hexanocotinate, which is one of the forms, often described as non-flush niacin. And there are 25 articles of scientific literature published. The primary difference between this and other forms of niacin is that the IH, let's just call it that, releases more slowly, reaching peak plasma levels as much as 6 hours after dosing. So that's why it has no flush. Let's talk about picamilon. And this is a combination of niacin and GABA developed in 1969. So it's another nootropic from behind the Iron Curtain. And picamilon is less studied, with just barely 30 results on PubMed and a handful of human studies. In Russia, it's a prescription drug used to treat these illnesses: ischemic stroke, depression, migraine, acute alcohol intoxication, senile psychosis, and it's not a very hardcore smart drug. According to users, it's more of a tranquilizing agent, frequently compared to phenibut and L-theanine, and pharmaceutical grade picamilon you can actually get from my man in Moscow. And I will link to him for those of you who really want to try picamilon. I would say if you need a GABAergic, just use phenibut, as long as you have a non-addictive personality. Next, let's talk some about food sources. And those would be a fish like yellowfin tuna. Yellowfin tuna, is that the one that might kill you if it's prepared incorrectly? Chicken and turkey, like cooked chicken breast, pork, that would be lean chop, liver, that would be a lamb liver, portobello mushrooms, green peas, or apparently 1 cup of coffee contains half a milligram. Not really enough to do any good. It is synthesized from tryptophan. Niacin and niacinamide are water-soluble, so when taken in pill form, you would want to drink water. Next, let's talk about sources and pricing. Except for the direct NAD plus precursors and picamilon, it's a quite affordable supplement. Purebulk.com in the USA, that's who I get my stuff from, offers pure lab-verified niacin, which I've been on for quite a while. I have a well-produced vlog review. And surprisingly, I actually found niacin to be an epiphany cofactor. Yeah. An epiphany cofactor. And I'm not going to tell that whole story here, but I will link to it in the meta-analysis article for those of you curious. Maybe an epiphany awaits for you. And you know what? There are some other sources, but in these podcasts, I actually don't love to talk about sources, unless I'm really confident that they're going to be around for a long time, because sometimes I will recommend a company in a podcast and then that company will go out of business. Actually, and this is something that bums me out, in my nearly 15 years now as an applied neuroscience strategist, as a smart drug junkie, as a relentless reviewer of supplements, I've found that a lot of times the companies that really do business in a stand-up way, a lot of times they get outcompeted by the companies that are kind of shady. Or I will also see that they'll be a really high quality company, but then new management will come in and they'll kind of lower standards. And so over on my website, limitlessmindset.com, or through the link below wherever you're watching or listening to me, I link over to the meta-analysis page. And that's where I have up-to-date, credible sources for these things. So yeah, you might want to check that out before you press any buy now buttons. But I think I will mention an interesting thing that a lot of people find kind of mind-blowing, is that downloadable niacin is a thing. Yeah, niacin you can actually take as an infoceutical. And this is a non-pharmacological side effect-free version of a drug or medicine that takes advantage of the phenomena of water memory. So the infoceutical niacin is imprinted on water via quantum co-location and electromagnetism with this device, which is back here behind me. And I just wanted to make sure that I didn't trip and spill methylene blue as I was grabbing the icy pad device to show you. That's why my voice went away for just a minute there. And infoceuticals typically have about maybe a third or a half of the effect of the actual medicine being imprinted, in my experience, and then also with some research that I've done. If you're skeptical of this, that's understandable, as it's a game-changing application of a little-known scientific phenomena. But I'd urge you to evaluate the scientific evidence that I presented in my biohacker review of this, and that was entitled "Downloadable Medicine is No Longer Science Fiction." And then for the usage and dosage recommendations, well, there's some debate here as well. So Dr. Mercola said, start with as little as 25 milligrams a day. But some of the recommendations from scientific literature were in between 500 to 1500 milligrams daily for healthy people. I'd say I'm at the lower end of that range on a daily basis. Yeah, I'm around 500 milligrams a day. And then for treating alcoholism, schizophrenia, etc., you'd want to be in between 1.5 and 3.5 grams daily. And although some scientific literature advises against taking over 3.5 grams daily of niacin, but Dr. Hoffer describes schizophrenics taking as much as 10 grams of niacin and 30 grams of nicotinic acid daily. And those are heroic doses that ended up restoring mental health and banishing the demons from their minds. If you're in a bad place mental health wise, I say that it's probably well worth the risk to go down the mega dosing pathway with it. Let's talk about side effects. Those can possibly include diarrhea, dizziness, headache, itching, nausea, stomach upset, temporary feeling of warmth or flushing of the skin. Yes, of course, we've already talked about that. Consuming over 3.5 grams daily can result in a host of potentially nasty conditions, like irregular heartbeat, liver disease, although I'm doubtful of that, increased risk of stroke, and possibly digestive tract issues. And I must also address the urine test myth. Apparently, there's an urban legend that large doses of B3 will mask the traces of narcotic drugs in a urine test. And Sorry, partiers. This is not true. Significant amounts of B3 could potentially cause organ failures. And there are actually multiple cases of dumbasses hurting themselves this way because they were trying to pass drug tests. So don't be one of them. And I should mention conflicts. WebMD reports major interactions with Arava, which has is one of those drugs with a weird name that I'm not even going to really worry about very much. Which brings me to my conclusion on vitamin B3. This is something that has a really wide range of benefits. I think it's a good idea for practically anybody because you aren't going to go and live in a cave away from civilization to try to escape the radiation, this deadly convenient radiation that emits from our Wi-Fi, from our neighbor's Wi-Fi, from our smartphones, from all the little tantalizing devices in our lives with Bluetooth. Yes, this wave of EMFs, this billion-fold increase in EMFs that your biology is not evolved to handle is something that you're probably not going to get away from. And niacin is a pretty good option for making your genes more anti-fragile to this continual onslaught. And if you're balling on a budget, niacin in the flush form is something that frankly everybody can afford. If you can't afford niacin, there's probably a lot of, you probably can't even afford a top ramen or a roof over your head or a shower if you can't afford niacin. So unless you're in a place of extreme poverty, you can afford to protect your genes from the radiation in our environment. And on a personal note, like I said, I have a great gratitude for it because I think it played an important part in me achieving perhaps my greatest achievement. So do drop me a comment below wherever you're listening or watching this one and let me know if you found any nootropic cofactors for niacin, because like I said, it's not the strongest nootropic on its own, but I'm curious if there are some great combinations that listeners have found. I'm Jonathan with Limitless Mindset, looking forward to a continued conversation with you.
A basic little molecule, pure nicotinic grace. But suddenly a crimson wave is climbing up my face. The capillaries open wide, the pathways start to clear. A sudden rush of heavy heat is drawing very near. My body is a canvas where the crimson rivers run. And now I'm burning up inside it beneath the sudden sun. Acidulating rush that takes me way too high. A crimson blush from head to toe under the heavy sky. The baseline Western doctors say it lowers the lipid strain, clearing out the pathways and protecting every vein. But the cosmopolitan hacker knows the real life cellular plays. Sudden metabolic rush that washes the fog away. It tingles on my shoulders, prickles on my spine, an intense physical sensation. fears almost divine. They white label the flesh free kind to sell it on the screen for the cautious, fearful consumers who let their biohacks clean. But I want the full experience, the unadulterated heat, the raw, unfiltered energy from my head down to my feet. It's a lesson in intensity for the sedentary soul. Letting the chemical furnace take absolute control. The heat is radiating a somatic pulsing glow as the capillaries widen and the heavy currents flow. There is fire under my skin. It's a beautiful burning desire, rising, opening the gates, setting the cellular fire. A subtly hot, vast, adulating rush that flush from head to toe under the heavy sky. So if you feel a little cold or trapped inside your head, step out of the comfortable zoo where the base model humans tread. Embrace the prickly crimson wave, the sting upon your arms, and bypass all the watered down deceptive market charms. The fire beginning to slowly fade, leaving a hyper-focused mind inside the sanctuary I made. Limitless mindset. God.